Thank you all so much. It is truly an honor to be the pastor of such a loving evangelical congregation that wants to reach people for Jesus. Getting ready to start my 13th year, that seems surreal to me. I just love you all, and what a privilege, Pastor Bishop Good Pastor. Thank you again for appointing me here. My kids have grown up in this congregation. You are our family. We've seen God do so many great things and reach so many people, and we're still just getting started. So it's an honor for me to be back. So thank you for having me and let me stick around. So, and I look forward to cheer, wine, and popcorn with you after the service. So hope you'll come to that. Well, shifting gears to the sermon series, as you saw a little bit from our bumper today, we started a series last week about words and that language matters. It's called Holy Bleep. We're going to be looking at some words that we use in our lives that sometimes are colorful and might shock us. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. It might offend us. And, you know, I was a little nervous preaching about this last week, introducing the series to you, talking about some of the words we're going to be talking about. And, you know, just introducing how God, you know, likes what comes out of our mouths because it comes out of our hearts. So what comes out of our mouths comes out of our hearts. What does that look like in our lives? And we talked about three different types of cursing in the world. There's religious cursing, like using God's name in vain. There's cursing that has to do with our body parts and how we use them, and that's kind of making you squirm a little bit, you know, but we all use those words probably from time to time. And then there's slanderous words that are just terrible, words that we use against each other, the N-word and the B-word, things like that. And so we're just going to look at what Scripture has to teach us about that. So I was a little nervous preaching about that for the first time last week, and now I have two bishops in here this week. And so I really got to watch what I say if I want to be here for that 13th year. And so, but it was interesting, like, how many of you reached out to me last week, more so than probably any other sermon series that I've had, and y'all have some really good spirit and some humor, like saying, that was a damn good sermon, Pastor Kyle. Well, that's a hell of a sermon, and that wasn't what I was going for, but that works, you know. So all kinds of things like that. Then some of you sent me a couple of memes. This is one of those. Today I learned the average American drops 80 to 90 curse words a day, about 4 per hour. Today I also learned that I'm above average in something, so thanks for your honesty. I received that from more than one person in the congregation. Also received this meme. It says, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. And so you guys are great sports, so we'll see what we can learn today in that process. Someone also reminded me that there are some really good people in some tough places that have been able to do it right. Like, you know, Tony Dungy, we got a picture of him. He's a Super Bowl winning coach, coached the Indianapolis Colts to a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning as his quarterback. He's an analyst for the NFL on TV. And he's a good guy. He doesn't use cuss words. Like, you know, you're like, wow, the NFL, somebody who actually doesn't use cuss words. That's somebody that we can look up to and aspire to. We're going to be looking in the Bible as a resource, our main resource. And we're also looking at a couple of books, kind of the history of cursing. One is called Holy Bleep, the S word. Melissa Moore is a Stanford graduate, and she has a lot of interesting things to teach us. And then Nine Nasty Words by John McWhorter. Again, not to be confused with the John McWhorter that planted this church back in the 60s. And again, this is not a witch hunt against anyone who uses bad words. We all use them. I use them sometimes from time to time. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But we're just looking at language and how that's important and what we say matters and what comes out of our mouths really is in our hearts. And so thanks for being here today to be a part of that. And we'll just kind of explore that a little bit together. So when my wife, Laura, was pregnant for our two boys, Luke and Nathan, we have two children, so she went through two pregnancies. One of the things that we liked doing was the ritual of choosing the name for our children. And so that's a fun experience. It's also a challenging experience. You know, I might like a name, and Laura might think, well, you know, I know somebody who has that name, and I don't want to name my child that because they drive me crazy, you know, those sorts of things. And so we're trying to figure out, do we name somebody after someone in our family? Do we name someone after, you know, the Bible character, all that kind of stuff? And so one of my roles as the dad was to try and take any potential names and kind of figure out which ones could be made fun of more than others. Because you don't want your kid to have a name that's just constantly being made fun of. And every name can be made fun of, but some are a lot easier than others. The church that we were serving then had a great family in the church, and they had three beautiful kids, and one of the boys was named Tucker. And I said to Laura, what do you think they're going to call him in middle school? You know, that's painful, right? So we want to think about what we name our kids. My name is Henry Kyle Thompson. The Henry comes from my dad. My dad is Hank, and so I'm honored to be named after him. And then I'm called Kyle, and so that's kind of my name. And so growing up, that was a pretty good name to have. It was kind of unique when I was growing up. It means handsome. You know, my parents, they're prophetic. They knew what to name me before they even knew what I looked like. And so that went well. But, you know, other little kids are going to make fun of the name. And when I was in elementary school, some kids couldn't say Kyle, so they called me Cow, C-O-W, Moo, Cow. Some kids like to make fun of my name, Kyle, because it rhymes with pile of you know what. So that's some of what I went through. So anyway, the names we landed on for our kids, our oldest is Luke Christian Thompson. We named him Luke after the Luke in the Bible. The gospel, well, he wrote, yeah, the gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. He was a physician, an early disciple. It also is kind of cool. I'm a Star Wars fan. I can say, Luke, I'm your father. So with a Darth Vader voice, that worked out as well. Christian, we wanted him to be a follower of Christ. And what's kind of funny now is his girlfriend's name Christian. So Christian's dating Christian. So we have a lot of fun with that. And then Thompson, our last name is son of Thomas. And legend goes all the way back to Thomas the disciple. I don't know if that's true or not, but we'll take it. And then Nathaniel Luther Thompson is my second son, who's here with me today. And we call him Nathan, and we named him after two people in the Bible. Nathaniel, who was the prophet who stood up to King David when David made a really big mistake, and he was called by God to be bold. And also Nathaniel is one of the 12 disciples. And Luther is Laura's maiden name, and she's a far descendant from Martin Luther, who helped start the Protestant Reformation. So those are some of the names that we have. What's your name? What does your name mean? Do you like it? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you going to change it when you're legally able to do that? How have people made fun of your name? How have people treasured your name? How do you like to hear people whom you love call your name? What is your name story? What does it mean to you? I want you to think about that today, because names are important. Names are important. Now, Shakespeare wrote, a rose by any other name would what? Smell is sweet. All right, so that's Juliet talking to Romeo, and they're in this forbidden love relationship because their families are fighting. And she was saying, just because you have a last name that my family hates doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Right, and so she was coming at it from a good perspective. Right, whether your name is Montague or Capulet or whatever, you would still be my sweet Romeo, right? And so, but his last name did matter, didn't it? His last name mattered to the point that both these young people died because their families hated the names of the other family. So names are important, right? Even to non-humans, like we have a dog, Bella. You guys know that. I talk about Bella in my sermons sometimes, and you know, when I'm talking to Bella, like, you know, you need to go out or stop chewing that, right? What she probably hears is like what the teacher on Charlie Brown sounds like. Wah, 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 wah. But she does hear certain words, like she knows treat. She goes, she's ready for a treat. When we say walk, she knows to go walk. And she knows her name, Bella. When we call Bella, she responds, right? So everything else might sound like wah, wah, wah. But when you say Bella, she tunes in. She knows that we're talking about her. So names are important. When I was in divinity school, I was studying to be a pastor. One of the classes I took was in American religious history, learning about religion and Christianity in America. And my professor's name was Professor Hutchison without an N. Right? You think of Hutchinson, it was Hutchison. And I liked his class. I was getting A's in his class until one day I quoted his dad, who was also a historian of church religion. And I quoted him in my paper thinking, wow, he's going to like this. I'm definitely going to get an A on this. But I wrote Hutchinson with an N instead of Hutchison, and I didn't get an A. I never got another A in that class because I misspelled his dad's name. That meant a lot to him, and I'm an idiot for not spelling it wrong, right? Names are important. When the Nazis rounded up the Jewish people and they sent them to the concentration camps, what did they do? They stopped using their names. They gave them numbers and they tattooed them on their arms to dehumanize them, right? Names are important. In the Harry Potter books and movies, the evil bad guy is named Voldemort, but in the first couple of books, people are not supposed to say his name. He is called He Who Is Not To Be Named, because Voldemort wanted to have power and people to think that he was more than just a person, that he was this larger-than-life evil character, and so he didn't want anyone saying his name because there's power in a name. Right? Names are important. And so today we're going to talk about the most important, the most precious name, and that's the name of God. We're going to be looking into Scripture for what it teaches us about that. In fact, the early believers in God didn't even use his name because they thought it was too big, too respectful, too much to be honored. And so instead of saying Yahweh, as we read in Scripture, they would call God Hashem. We've got that word there, which means the name of God. Right? There are still Jewish people today who don't call God God or Yahweh or anything like that. They call God Hashem, the name. Right? The name of God is too holy to say for some people. Right? So a couple passages of Scripture. This from the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And from the New Testament, Paul writing to the Philippians, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, talking about Jesus, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God created us in God's image, which is good. There is goodness in all of us. God gave us the gift of free choice, and sometimes we choose well and things go well, and sometimes we choose poorly and we hurt ourselves and we hurt other people, and because of that we experience guilt and shame and death and hell, which means broken relationships, right? But Jesus said, I don't want it to be that way, and so he left heaven to come to the earth to become a human being, to die on a cross, to come back to life so that you and I can be forgiven. That we can live life to the full. We can exchange our guilt and shame for joy and peace, and we can live life to the full now and forever in the kingdom of God. That's the name of Jesus that needs to be praised. In both our worship services today, we're going to sing songs lifting up the name of God. In our modern service, we're singing songs about the name of Jesus. In this traditional service, we're going to close with a powerful song about the name of Jesus. We lift that name up on high. And today, I want to challenge you to think about how we use that holy and precious name of God. Because sometimes we misuse it. We use it in vain. If you remember, there's three types of cursing or swear words in the world, and one of them is religious, and that's using the name of God in ways that we're not supposed to. And so I'll show you some words here that are hard to see, that hopefully are offensive. We looked at these last week. These are nasty religious words. GD, I swear to G, oh my G, oh my FNG, right? We hear these things in real life or just screaming out the name of Jesus. Why is this problematic? What's the big deal? It's not like we're dropping the F-bomb or the S-bomb or the MF-bomb or the N-word. Like, this is just God. Like, what's the big deal? And so let's look at this. We know sometimes cussing is called cursing. Do you know where that comes from? Let's look to Melissa Moore, who wrote one of these books that we're studying. Curse words. Cursing, in its most literal sense, invokes a deity to make something bad happen to someone else. God, I want you to hurt someone else. I want you to mess up their lives. Smite them, as they might say in the Bible. Right? We say GD it. So when we're saying GD it, we're asking God to damn someone or something to eternal damnation, burning in hell for eternity, right? Depending on how you read the Bible and what hell says, we're going to talk about that later in the sermon series, right? But to curse someone using God's name, God, I want you to mess somebody up. Right? That's where the idea of cursing, curse words, comes from. I don't think God wants us to use his name in that way. I want to show you a word called covenant. You've heard of the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Old Covenant, the New Testament. That testament means covenant. A covenant is a solemn promise made binding by an oath, which may be either a verbal formula or a symbolic action. So in the Old Testament, we see covenants that God makes with people. He makes a covenant with Abraham. If you leave your land and go to where I'm asking you to go, if you follow what I ask you to do, I will give you the land of Israel. I'll make you a great nation. I'll make your family great, and you'll be a blessing to the entire world. He says to Noah, I make a covenant to you. I'm never going to destroy the world by water again, right? We see covenants made in the Old Testament, and usually it's you're swearing to God. God, I swear I will do this for you. And God says, I will swear to do something for you, human beings, right? And so these are covenants that are made. And so it's swearing was acceptable in the Old Testament. Here's swearing, where swear words come from. When you swear to God, you make an appeal to God. You ask God to listen to your words, assess their truth, and punish you if they're false or if you don't perform what you've promised, right? Abraham says, God, I swear I'll follow you to the promised land. I'll do what you say. And if I don't, then I'm going to be in big trouble, right? This is a serious deal. I'm making an oath to God. I'm going to do what I say, right? I mean what I say. I'm invoking God. That means it's serious. And if I mess up, there's probably going to be some serious consequences, right? Some more about swearing, right? In the Old Testament, when people made an oath to God, they swore seriously, only in weighty matters. They never used an oath as an expletive or an insult, like, I swear to God, if you don't stop beating on the back of my seat, I'm going to kick you in the teeth, right? That's not what we're talking about here, right? We had to be sincere, and you better be true and do what you say you will. So there's some homework if you're interested in seeing this. Here are a couple of verses. These are examples of people who make an oath to God. I swear to God, I'm going to do this. And this was acceptable. This was okay, right? We see it in Genesis 31:50, 1 Samuel 30:15. And then the next slide shows us examples of people, of God swearing. I swear, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do right by you, right? Genesis 22, Psalm 89, Isaiah 45. That's just a sprinkling, right? So taking an oath, swearing to God to do something and that you're going to follow up on that. It was a sincere thing. It was a weighty thing. Abraham's relocating. God's not going to destroy the world. That's kind of the swearing that we see in the Old Testament, right? So again, it's not, I swear to G that if you stop doing this, I'm going to take you outside and whoop you, right? That's not it, right? So that's kind of where we are with swearing, right? So then look what Jesus does in the New Testament. He totally takes this and turns it upside down. Again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you've made. If you swore to God, do what you said that you're going to do. But I tell you, don't swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Right? People were, they're not just swearing by God, now they're swearing by Jerusalem, they're swearing by everything. Right? And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Right? So Jesus said, yeah, there used to be swearing back in the older times, right? That was okay. That's how God was doing it then. But Jesus says, now, you know what? You don't need to swear to God. You don't need to swear to anything, to Jerusalem or anything holy. All you have to do is say yes or no. Your word is binding, right? Words matter. What we say matters, right? This has been vastly controversial, what Jesus has done. In the 15th century, they were killing people because they wouldn't swear on a Bible when they were taking an oath, right? And so some people are like, well, Jesus said I don't have to do that. They're killing people over this, right? Thankfully, we're not killing people for not swearing here or there. But Jesus makes a shift, right? Is it okay for me to swear to God for this and not for this? Jesus said, don't worry about it. Just say yes or no, right? So Jesus makes it easy for us. We don't need to swear to God about anything. Just yes, just no. I like it when Jesus makes things clear. Sometimes I don't because it's hard to do, but in this case, I think this is something we can do, okay? So now, one other area about using God's name comes to us from the Ten Commandments, right? If you've read your Bibles, you probably know there's more than Ten Commandments. There's like 613 commands. We like to focus on the top 10 commands. We know that some of these commands we don't have to do anymore, right? Because when Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to wipe out the law of the Old Testament, but I'm fulfilling it in a new way. And so we don't have to live up to every letter and rule and regulation in the Old Testament. You know, there's laws about wearing two different types of clothing mixed together. We're not sweating that, right? We're not doing that. There's what to do when you find a bird's nest in the middle of the road. We're not worried about that. But some of the rules in the Old Testament we do think are relevant and helpful. Don't cheat on your spouse. Don't kill somebody, right? That kind of stuff. So we're going to look at one of the top 10 today. It's actually number 3, and it has to do with God's name. So let's see what's in the top 10 here. Exodus 27. I'm going to show you a couple of different translations. This is the Revised Standard Version. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So don't take God's name in vain. We probably heard that. So what does that mean? Let's go to this is the NIV, New International Version translation. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Don't take God's name in vain. Don't misuse God's name. Now, that makes it a little easier to say, all right? We don't want to misuse God's name. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So what does it mean to take God's name in vain? What does it mean to misuse God's name? Here's a couple of options, I think, that are on target. For God's name, use it reverently in full knowledge of what you're saying. Don't use it flippantly, pointlessly, or for trivial purposes. Do not say false things about God. Don't compromise God's honor. Do not use God's name to harm or to curse others. Do not use God's name in demeaning circumstances. Like when you're mad, screaming just, Jesus Christ, like is a curse word. It's probably taking God's name in vain, right? Not using it in a healthy way. Saying, you know, for God's sake, would you get to the point? Right? It's probably not using God's name appropriately. It's not, when somebody says for God's sake, they don't really mean for God's sake, they mean for their sake. You know, for my sake, would you please get to the point, Pastor Kyle? Right? And then the most probably famous one is, oh my God. Right? OMG. Some people throw the F word into that. OMFNG. Like, you can understand why that's wrong, but what's the big deal saying, oh my God, right? Right? Why is that? How's that being in vain? How's that misusing God's name? I don't think it's using God's name to where, like, you know, oh my God, like I just got a diagnosis of cancer, Lord, I need you with me. Right? I don't think that's using God's name in vain. Or, like, oh my God, my spouse just divorced me, and this is the love of my life, and I don't know what to do. Right? I don't think that's using God's name in vain. But, you know, if someone comes up and scares you, you go, oh my, OMG, right? I think you could substitute something else in there. Specifically, holy S word, holy bleep. If you can insert holy bleep instead of OMG, you're probably getting it wrong, right? If you get scared, oh, OMG, you could say holy bleep, right? That's misusing God's name. Or you see someone who's good looking, OMG, right? You could say holy S, right? Right? Do you see how that works? Right? If you could use OMG where you use holy bleep, that's probably using God's name in vain. And I know it seems trivial. I know it seems small, but right, this is the name of God that we're talking about. Right? God asks us not to use it in vain. God asks us not to misuse it. Right? So what's the point today? What's the big idea? What's the takeaway? I think it's what we read, right? God's name is above all names. God's name is above all names, right? I invite you to think about one action step, something that we can do, right? Treat it that way. Right? Treat God's name that way. Celebrate God's name, praise God's name, share God's name, call out God's name, use it in holy ways. That's what we're talking about. I want to invite you to think for a second about somebody that you love and is dear to you. Maybe it's your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a best friend, a brother, sister, someone that is dear to you. And I want you to think about their name and how you use their name. Right? I want to show you someone who's special to me. This is my wife, Laura. This is a photo of Laura. She's not able to be here today. She's being a good mom. She's with Luke. They had to be out of state today. But Laura's precious to me. And I love her, and I love her name. Her name is Laura, L-O-R-A. It comes from laurel or from flower. And she is beautiful on the inside, beautiful on the outside. A lot of people get her name wrong. They call her Laura or Lori or Lorelai. And she's really patient with that. She's a teacher, and so she says it's kind of like Dora the Explorer with an L, right? Dora with an L. But I love Laura because she's my soulmate. She's my best friend. She's the mother of our children. She is patient with me. She is kind with me. She's been with me through the ups and downs of my life. She knows the good about me. She knows the bad about me, and she loves me anyway. And so she is precious to me. And because of that, I would never say something like, "Laura, damn it," when someone cut me off in traffic. Or, "Oh my Laura, I can't believe that you're doing that," right? Saying that to someone else. Or, you know, right? "Oh Laura, oh," or "Oh bleeping Laura," right? "Oh my bleeping Laura." Like, do you hear how silly that sounds and how hateful that sounds? "I swear to Laura," I wouldn't do that because her name is precious to me and I respect her and I'm going to give her name that respect. And as much as she means to me, as great as she is to me, she did not create me in her image like God did. She doesn't know the number of hairs on my head like God does. Even though they're easier to count now because I'm losing some. Right. She's with me and she forgives me. But she didn't leave heaven to come to the earth to become a fragile human being and to be accused of something that she didn't do. She didn't climb up on a cross and die for me, although she might be willing to do that. I would never ask her to do that, right? She didn't come back to life for me. But God did. God did that for you. God created you in God's image and you were good. Right? When you get it wrong, God loves you and is there to forgive you. Jesus left heaven to come to the earth to die for you and came back to life to take away your guilt and your shame and your death and your hell and replace it with joy and peace and life to the full and life forever. Shouldn't his name be used in an uplifting way? He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. He's the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Holy Spirit. He is the Rock, right? He is the True Vine. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Light of the world. He is the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He is the Great I Am. He is the name above all names. And his name deserves that honor. So, brothers and sisters, if you got to say a bad word, use the F word, use the S word, whatever. Just don't use God because he is precious. His name is great and greatly to be praised. The name above all names deserves our honor, our love, and our respect. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.